Welcome to the Deep Dive. If you follow cybersecurity, you know disrupting infrastructure is where the real impact happens.
Definitely.
And recently, there is a huge win. We're unpacking the complete neutralization of the Rhadamanthes InfoSealer operation.
Yeah, this was big. Not just a few arrests.
No, this was a full-on digital lockout. A system shutdown that really seemed to catch a whole network of criminals off guard.
It really was a surgical strike against a, frankly, very professional setup. And that's our mission for this deep dive, isn't it?
Right.
We want to explore what Rhadamanthes actually was, look at its business model, this malware as a service thing, which made it so widespread.
And dangerous.
And dangerous, yes. But the really fascinating bit, I think, is how they lost control. The technical details are quite something.
The digital judo move.
Kind of, yeah. And what that means for, you know, your defenses, especially thinking about credentials and, crucially, multi-factor authentication.
Okay, so our sources cover the law enforcement side, the malware mechanics, and the protective steps businesses really need to take.
That's the plan.
So let's start with the threat itself. What exactly was Rhadamanthes? What made it tick?
Well, Rhadamanthes was, you could say, a next-gen InfoStealer. It's a sophisticated malware, but its goal isn't crashing things or ransomware, not directly anyway.
It's quiet.
Very quiet. It's designed purely to steal sensitive information, operating silently in the background.
And it knew what to look for, didn't it? It wasn't just grabbing random stuff.
No, it was targeted. It went straight for the high-value data, things like credentials saved in your web browsers.
The ones you use constantly.
Exactly. Right. And authentication cookies, email passwords, login details for various apps, especially business tools. It grabbed the keys to the kingdom, essentially.
But the real game changer you mentioned was the business model.
Like, yes. The malware as a service, or MaaS, model, Rhadamanthes really perfected this. Think of it like a franchise operation for cybercrime.
Professionalizing theft. That sounds, well, efficient and scary.
It absolutely made it potent. The developers figured out they could make more money and spread faster by selling access on subscription.
So you didn't need to be a master hacker yourself.
Precisely. It massively lowered the barrier to entry for, let's say, less technically adept criminals. Suddenly, launching sophisticated attacks was within reach for more people.
A service economy for crime. What kind of money are we talking about for these subscriptions?
It varied. Sources say typically hundreds, maybe up to several thousand dollars a month. Depends on the features, the scale.
And what did they get for that? Just the malware file?
Oh, no, much more. They got technical support. They got updates to bypass defenses and, crucially, access to a web panel, a dashboard.
A dashboard for stolen data.
Exactly, where they could log in, see the data harvested from their victims, filter it, download it, very organized.
So this professional tool,
mm-hmm.
How did it actually get onto victims' machines? How did they spread it?
Mostly through deception. Exploiting trust, really. Common methods were fake software cracks or key generators.
Yeah.
You know, promising free access to paid software.
Distributed through shady download sites, I imagine.
Right. Or misleading YouTube videos, tutorials promising free software, but the download link leads to the InfoStealer.
And the sources mentioned malicious search ads, too. That seems particularly sneaky.
Extremely. They'd buy ads for common search terms. You search for a legitimate tool, their ad pops up first, looks totally real.
You click download, run the installer.
It just let Rhadamanthes walk right in. It uses the very infrastructure we rely on against us.
Okay, so that sets the scene. Now, the disruption, this is where it gets interesting, almost like a movie plot. How did law enforcement actually pull the plug on this operation?
Well, the sources paint a picture of sudden panic among the subscribers. They abruptly lost SSH access to their control panels.
SSH, secure shell. For anyone not familiar, what does losing that specific access mean for these criminals?
It's fundamental. SSH is how they'd securely log into their remote servers to manage things, run commands, collect the stolen data.
So losing SSH is like...
It's like the sysadmin's master keys and passwords suddenly stop working. They're locked out of their own command center. The servers might still be running, but they can't get in.
And the really clever part was how they were locked out. It wasn't just a block. The rules changed, right?
They did. The login method suddenly switched from the usual password authentication,
which they obviously had,
to certificate-based authentication. And unless you possess the specific private key for that certificate, a key they definitely didn't have, your password becomes useless. Instant lockout.
Wow. That implies really deep access by whoever did this. How could law enforcement force that kind of change across all these servers? They must have gotten inside the core infrastructure.
It strongly suggests they achieved root-level control, you know, administrator access, quietly before the criminals knew. Then they could push out this new authentication requirement, turning the key in the lock, so to speak.
And the chaos that followed on the underground forums.
Yeah.
The sources give us a real taste of that panic.
Oh, yeah. People were sharing intel frantically. One subscriber posts a warning, hey, it's switched to certificate mode, and specifically mentions suspecting German police activity.
They knew it was official action.
It seems so. Another report was even more direct. Someone said guests had visited their server, actually removed the root password, and they had to pull the plug immediately.
Guests. That's chilling. So not just locked out, but actively taken over.
Total intrusion. And this wasn't just paranoia. The main Radamanthes developer apparently acknowledged the breach later, blaming German law enforcement.
There was evidence.
Yes. Forensics apparently showed German IP addresses accessing the control panels hosted in various EU data centers right before the lockout, and crucially, the Tor Onion sites.
Their hidden websites.
Right, for distribution and communication. They went offline too. Total suppression of the infrastructure.
So this wasn't just a one-off hit on Radamanthes. It fits into a much bigger picture, doesn't it? Operation Endgame.
Exactly. This Radamanthes takedown is a textbook example of what Operation Endgame is all about. It's this massive international law enforcement effort.
And the focus is different from traditional arrests.
Very different. It's less about chasing down individual hackers, though they do that too. The primary goal is strategic. Neutralizing these malware-as-a-service operations by dismantling their core infrastructure. The servers, the code, the control panels.
Why target the infrastructure specifically? Why is that more effective?
Because the Moz model makes cybercrime scalable. Arrest one user, another one buys a subscription tomorrow from the same or a different service, but take down the infrastructure.
Oh, you stop the supply.
You make it incredibly difficult, expensive, and time-consuming for them to rebuild. You disrupt the entire business model. Operation Endgame is trying to make this type of cybercrime economically unviable.
And they've had some major successes already, haven't they? This isn't their first rodeo.
Not at all. They've already disrupted some really big names in the malware world. Things like Smokeloader, Danabot, IceDie, Peekabot, TrickBot, Bumblebee, SystemBC. These were major operations.
That's quite a list. It shows a sustained effort.
A strategic, coordinated effort that's clearly gaining ground.
And apparently, the Operation Endgame website even had a countdown timer after this, suggesting more actions are coming.
Yes, indicating this is an ongoing campaign. The Radamanthes takedown is likely just one phase in a larger strategy.
The message seems clear. They're hitting the business model itself.
Precisely.
Okay, let's bring this back to the listener. To you, running a business or managing security, why does this specific takedown matter? Is the threat gone?
Well, the immediate Radamanthes threat is neutralized, yes. But the risk, that persists. It's temporary relief, maybe, because the criminals using it will just look for the next available info stealer.
And the data already stolen.
That's the lingering danger. Info stealers grab your everyday credentials, that stolen data gets sold, traded on the dark web, and then used for other attacks down the line. Business email compromise, fraud, eventually even ransomware. It's a cascade.
Which leads us straight to that critical question.
Yeah.
Is multi-factor authentication, MFA, enough protection? We have to stress, MFA is absolutely vital, non-negotiable.
Absolutely essential. But, and this is a big but, against advanced info stealers like Radamanthes, it's not a guaranteed shield.
Why not? How do they get around it?
It's clever. They aren't usually stealing the MFA code itself. They steal the session token or authentication cookie that your browser receives after you've successfully logged in with your password and your MFA code.
Ah, so they steal the proof that you already authenticated.
Exactly. That token basically tells the website, this user is verified for this session. The attacker grabs that token.
And they can just reuse it.
And reuse it to access your account, looking exactly like you, without needing to provide the password or MFA again for that session's duration. It bypasses the MFA check entirely in that moment.
Okay, that's a crucial distinction. So, given how stealthy these things are, how can you even tell if you've been hit by an info stealer?
It's tough. They are designed not to be obvious. No crashes, no weird pop-ups usually. Sometimes you might see odd signs like unexpected account lockouts, login attempts you didn't make, maybe logins from strange locations.
But often, nothing.
Often, it's completely silent, which means you really need professional tools like endpoint detection and response and continuous monitoring to catch it. You can't rely on just noticing something is wrong.
Right. So if you do suspect an infection, what are the immediate critical steps? Our sources are clear on this. First,
disconnect the affected computer or systems from the network immediately. Stop it talking to the outside world. Stop potential spreading.
But, and this is key, do not just turn the computer off, right?
Correct. Don't power it down. You need to preserve the system's memory, the volatile data, for forensic investigation. Turning it off wipes that.
Okay, so disconnect. Don't power off. Step two.
Call in the experts. Contact your cybersecurity incident response team, whether internal or a third-party firm. They need to manage containment and figure out what happened.
And third.
Plan for widespread credential resets. Don't just change the password on the infected machine. Assume anything that machine accessed, any account logged into from it, could be compromised. It needs a comprehensive reset plan.
It really underlines the need for layered defense, doesn't it? Technical tools are vital, EDR systems, monitoring.
Yes, but also the human element. Security awareness training is critical. Employees need to recognize those distribution tactics, the fake cracks, the dodgy ads, the misleading videos.
And we should remember, this isn't just a Windows issue anymore.
No, definitely not. Mac systems, even mobile devices, are increasingly targeted. Everyone needs to be vigilant.
Okay, so wrapping this deep dive up, key takeaways.
I think first, understanding the shift to these resilient malware as a service models. Second, the fascinating mechanics of the takedown itself, that technical lockout using certificates. And third, reinforcing that even with major law enforcement wins, your defenses need layers beyond just basic MFA.
It was a definite victory, this operation. But here's the final thought, building on that point about stolen data being sold and resold. If your company cleans up an InfoStealer infection today, how long does the risk from those credentials already out there actually persist?
Good question.
That initial theft, that data, could be used weeks, maybe months later for a completely different attack. A ransomware incident, a major financial fraud, long after you think the original Radamanthes problem is solved.
That long tail of damage, it's often the biggest risk. It really demands constant vigilance, a forward-looking defense.
Something to definitely mull over as you review your own security posture. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.